really good to be here. You know, this morning I got prayer in the prayer room. And let me tell you, you have some prayer warriors in there. You know, there wasn't one person who didn't have a prophetic word. It was like, wow, God just overwhelmed me and, you know, just filled me with his spirit. So you should be very thankful for what God has brought together here in this body of Christ. Amen? Whew. Hey, I just want to tell you breaking news. If you were here last night, you probably heard it. But if you weren't, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sisters, a charismatic order from Prayertown, Texas, are now resident at the Ark and the Dove. So Sister Bernadette is our administrator, and Sister Mary Gianna, not fully professed yet, is in charge of vocations. And already the movement of the Holy Spirit has really expanded, and lots of things are happening at the Ark and the Dove. So that's going to give me and Taffy a little time off, I think. We've been serving every weekend. All kinds of groups have come. All our Brothers of the Neo-Catechumical Way, all kinds of charismatic groups, street evangelists have come. The Anglican Church has been there in force with the bishops and the priests, and the place is just filled with the praise and the presence of God constantly. Either people are being formed or they are worshiping the Lord on the grounds. It's amazing. And to have the honor of washing the dishes every weekend was extraordinary. I learned how to use a dishwasher, which Taffy has been kind of hinting me towards for a lot of years. But, you know, it's just been extraordinary just to be in the house and hear the praise, and the hair on the back of your neck is standing up because you know and you sense God's presence, how wonderful it is. Amen? And I did share, I only have 7 of these, but 2 folks took them last night, and they were willing to take a look at this brochure. This is a campaign brochure. I told you last night, we acquired the Ark and the Dove at a $1.6 million debt. So we took a loan for $1.6 million. And so we're paying that, right? And so we just started a campaign. A friend of ours of the Renewal gave us that loan and has put it off for 2 years. But he came back to us this year and he said, any amount of money you raise this year, I will take off the debt. So if you raise $1.4 or $1.6 million this year, you won't have a debt and you'll have that money for your mission and vision. So, you know, I'm excited to say to the Renewal, let's unite. This is your home. We're only the caretakers there. You're welcome to come. Please come and be there with us. Call the sisters and make arrangements to do that. But if anyone would seriously like to consider pledging, please come see me afterwards, all right? And you'll get one of these 20-page brochures that have lots of good people like Pope Francis in there and things. So, you know. Praise the Lord. Now and forever?
Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. Last night I said to you that there was a growing sense of a tsunami of the Holy Spirit coming upon us as we move from this Jubilee year to the next 50 years of Catholic Charismatic Renewal. In the past 50 years, we had the reign of the Holy Spirit upon us, and surely most of us have been saturated with baptism in the Holy Spirit. In fact, a small group of people, some 120 million strong, some say 150, I'm not sure, I think there's more every day, have been saturated with the Holy Spirit. But that's only a minute segment of what God wants to do. God wants a tsunami of the Holy Spirit to come, a wave of the Holy Spirit that will be irresistible, that people will not be able to stand against it, that, you know, that will just come upon the people. And he's saying that he wants to envelop the church and envelop the world with his Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is very strange that it comes at a time in our church that perhaps seems, or at least in, maybe not in the last couple of years, but before that, seems probably the bleakest to us. And we are so bold to proclaim a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How can that be? That's going to envelop the church and envelop the world. You know, there are some harsh realities out there, and if you don't recognize or you're not aware that the church is in crisis, please wake up. You know, in Pittsburgh, now I am from West Virginia, but I spent half my life in Pittsburgh at the Ark and the Dove, and they had 188 parishes that are going to go down to 48 in the next year or so. Now, I mean, that's devastating, right? But you have to understand, Pittsburgh, like New York, like big cities, probably Milwaukee, lots of immigrants came initially. And we had a church on every corner, right? We had the Polish church, the Italian church, the Irish church. Now, it wasn't that way when I grew up in Brooklyn. In fact, when I moved to West Virginia, I was shocked to understand that the Italian children, only in my generation, didn't worship in the Irish church. I was like, what? You know, but so part of it is this consolidation that needs to happen. Today, we all speak the same language. You got to remember, back then, they came with their native tongue. And they needed to worship the Lord at Mass in their native tongue. So this grew up quickly and very beautifully. Well, that's part of it. And the other part of it is that the numbers who are attending Catholic Church are diminishing drastically. And that really holds true for our young adults. You know, the fastest growing religion, as Sherry Wendell would tell us, is the religion of none, N-O-N-E. You know, there's so many of our young people who think that it's okay to be spiritual. I have a spirituality, I might believe in God, you know, but really do I need to bother getting involved in this church? I have one of my daughters, extremely beautiful girl, extremely spiritual, but she just doesn't go to church because she doesn't see the need, or she's disappointed. My oldest son is disappointed in what's happened in the Catholic Church, some of the scandals that have gone on. And so there is a crisis in the church. And, you know, cultural Catholicism really doesn't exist anymore. When you and I were young, you know, when I was young before, you know, that witness I gave when I was 21 and my mother prayed and I came back to the Lord, it was very typical for Catholics in New York and our generation would walk away from the Lord, but surely they would get married in the church, right? And if you had a baby, you were baptizing it in the church, whether you had a relationship with Jesus or not. I mean, your grandmother would kill you, right? You know, so that's not true anymore. I have two grandchildren who aren't baptized. Well, they're baptized by me and Taffy, but they are not baptized. And, you know, it's just sad. It's a prevalent story out there. So cultural Catholicism no longer works where it used to work. The magisterium could rely on the fact that you are an Irish Catholic, a Polish Catholic, an Italian Catholic, and the church will grow because you'll have little Catholics. And they'll make their first Holy Communion. They'll be baptized and they'll make confirmation, and then they'll think they graduated and go on to something else. The church is in crisis, and it's time for us to cooperate with the Lord in the movement of the Holy Spirit in this great movement of the tsunami that's to come, to say nothing of the indifference in life. You know, what's happened in Vegas is the latest, right? I mean, just incredible, incredible. And so it's time for us to get up and to get going. So where is this great outpouring? Well, first and foremost, this great outpouring starts with us. Again, Psalm 42 says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And then the psalmist says, "When can I go and meet with God?" And I thought to myself, how appropriate for today's social, secular world that the psalmist would say when instead of where, you know, because this when question has consumed our society. You know, we no longer have time for God. You know, we're so involved. Our kids have 14 sports. They're doing 18 different things. You know, I have a career. My wife has a career. You know, just there's so much going on. It's not that I don't love God. If I only had time for God, I'd have a relationship with God. And it's kind of prevalent in our society. And yet God desires this intimate relationship with us. So intimate. Somebody said last night, I think, and I know this to be true because it was always the way I thought, The best husband that I can be and the best father that I can be is a man who's created after God's own heart. I have to love God before I love my wife and I love my children. That's how intimate God wants it to be. And it's not just me, it's all of us. Unique as we are, different as we are, He wants this intimacy with you. With you. And, you know, it's just to the point where we finally realize our belovedness. Vicki and I had a nice conversation on the way as she picked me up from the hotel. Thank you, Vic. And, you know, about how the Father is so apparent in her life, and the Father has been so apparent in my life in the last 6 or 7 years. And, you know, I want to tell you a story. I've lost 2 children to cancer, and I lost my first wife to cancer. So I know what cancer is, you know? And a while back, I suddenly realized I had 2 tumors in my body. I had a tumor on my back and one on my buttocks. And is everything I know about cancer that says that that metastasized. So anyway, I went to the doctor, and they were able to do this Mohs surgery, really cool surgery. You know, they take everything and leave what they can behind. It was really good, you know. And then they said, well, there's no treatment for this cancer. And, you know, you're just going to have to know that sooner or later, this cancer is going to come back. And I said, well, yeah, I understand that. But in the meantime, here's what God did. God woke me up one morning at 4:30. And this was prior to the diagnosis. And, you know, I get up at 5 o'clock every day. Today I got up at 3 o'clock, by the way. But anyway, you know, God woke me up at 4:30. And I said, oh, 4:30, God, I got another half hour. And he said, all right, you want me to praise you? I said, oh, praise you, God. You're a holy God. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord distinctly said, shut up, Jimmy. He said, I want to tell you that I love you. I said, okay, it's 4:36. What are we going to do now? And that was it, right? So the next day, 4:30 comes. I'm wide awake. All right, Jesus, praise you. I love you. I got to get up at 5 anyway. Jimmy, shut up. And he said, Jimmy, I want to tell you that I love you. And this is when he called me Jimmy, by the way. Very endearment to me. It's an endearment name. And, you know, so I said, all right, you love me. So the next day, the next day, the next week, the next month, every single day at 4:30, Jimmy, I love you. Suddenly, I started smiling in the morning. I'm not going to talk back to God. I'm just going to let Him love me. And somehow there was a tremendous healing taking place in my life, and all of the woundedness of losing Kellyanne and Christopher and my wife Karen was being healed morning by morning. 500 days straight, He woke me up at 4:30 in the morning just to tell me He loved me. Amen? And in between that, I got this diagnosis, right? I know God loves me. And I went to Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York because that's where my children were raised. And I thought they were the best in the world. And, you know, I was in the waiting room. And suddenly the Holy Spirit came on me. I was going to go get a CAT scan. And the Holy Spirit came on me. And I started weeping and weeping and weeping. And, you know, tissues. And the people in the waiting room are like, oh, boy, he must be dying of cancer. And my wife Taffy's with me, and she's like, Jimmy. And I said, I don't know what to say. I am overwhelmed with the love of God. And it wasn't 6 months to the day later, I think, that I was with the NSC at a meeting in some part of the country. And Jesus said, that day in that waiting room, when my love fell on you, and you wept, and you wept, and you wept, I healed you. And I've been cancer-free for 6 years. Amen? Thank you. But it was then that I found out my name, not only Jimmy. You know, I was James Joseph when I was born. I was Jimmy Joe when I was a little boy. I became Jim as I was the plant manager, you know. And then God called me Jimmy again. And so my name, as I go by, is Jimmy. because that's what God calls me, right? But I also found out that he called me his beloved. I was like, me, God? You got the right guy? You know, yeah, you are my beloved. And so this belovedness is what God wants to offer us in the intimacy of our relationship and to be formed by the heart of God. How are we going to be formed by the heart of God unless we have an intimate relationship with him? It's silly to think. You know, when I was in Northrop Grumman, they fed me all kinds of leadership courses so I could become a good leader, right? I drank the Kool-Aid, right? And, you know, I absorbed that. And I became a leader. But God wants to do the same thing. He wants you to become the beloved. He wants you to become the witness to the world that's crying and dying to know his love. But he needs you to embrace him as the one source of your life. And you're not going to be less of a wife or less of a husband or less of a father or mother. You are going to be more of a husband, of a wife, of a father or a mother, because you have that intimate relationship with God. Ralph Martin said this, you know, the Holy Father invited us to Rome. And I heard four from here went, right? Terry? I didn't get to go. You know, I'm not a man of means, and I just didn't have the opportunity. But I knew it was going to be a moment in God. And Ralph Martin had this prophetic word at Circus Maximus. This is the place where people gave their lives for their faith. They were standing on the ground where the martyrs were, okay? And this is the prophecy that Ralph Martin had. He said, the Lord is letting me feel this. The Lord is letting me feel his heart for you. The Lord is letting me feel his heart for you. What the Lord is saying is, I long for your love. I long for your love. There's nothing I want more. There's nothing I more preciously desire. There's nothing I value more than your personal love for me, than your personal friendship, than your personal loyalty. There's nothing I want more than your love for me. I long for your love for me. As the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for you, oh God. Unbelievable. God desires you so much. Everything within his ability and his power, he will do to have this intimacy with you. I'm nobody special. I'm just a broken man who desires the love of God and to be like God. And in verse 7 of that psalm, it says this, deep calls unto deep, the roar of the waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept me away. Is that true? Is that true? Have you experienced this tsunami of the Holy Spirit being swept away without recourse, without reserve, without the ability to stop it? Have you been swept away by the love of God? You know, after losing my wife and my two children and after going through that healing process, the Lord brought another lady into my life, Taffy. She's a wonderful leader in the charismatic renewal. Beautiful, prayerful, silent prayer, contemplative, charismatic. Beautiful. And when we were courting, and we courted very cautiously because I still had a 14-year-old at home, her daughters were older and couldn't wait till somebody else was going to take care of her. But, you know, I had a young one. And, you know, so we had this long courtship. She lived 3 hours away, and I would write these poems, and she would write these poems, and we'd send these Hallmark cards, and I would get on YouTube, and every romantic video that came to my mind, I would send her. So I was really, like, you know, laying it on, you know? And she was doing the same thing back to me. We had this wonderful, wonderful, intimate courtship 3 hours away from each other. And we longed for the day that we could say, I commit my life to you. And that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. That's how it is with the Lord. He is longing for that intimacy. He wants you to send him a Hallmark card. He wants you to write him a poem. I'm telling you, this is the type of guy he is. And for you guys, if you're too tough for this, you're too tough. Now, I'm a pretty tough man myself. But I'll tell you what, you know, when the heart of God gets on you, and when you can understand that even as a man, you can have this intimate relationship with Jesus, it's just fantastic. Mary Healy gave this word at the 50th anniversary at the Ark and the Dove. Guess what psalm she used? Psalm 42. She said, "Deep calls to deep in the roar of the mighty water." And the Lord is asking us, Charismatic Renewal, to cry out to Him from the deep, from the depth of a thirsty world, from the depth of a thirsty church. Deep cries out to deep of God, and God is calling us to worship Him from our depth, to cry out to Him from our depth, for His Spirit is to be poured out. Amen? And then she went on, she opened up to Genesis, and this was pretty amazing. She said, "I didn't realize when I got this scripture that today was February 17th. You see, we celebrated the 50th anniversary on the weekend of the 50th anniversary, the same exact dates of the Duquesne weekend. And she said this from Genesis 7 and verse 11, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the second month, on the 17th day." This is the word. This is the word that God gave us on February 17th. "On that day, the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rains fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. You know, the great flood, right? And she said, "It was a flood that purification, but God wants to bring now a flood, just as the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord." So these are the words that we're hearing from God. God wants to again bring a flood so that we can be filled, the land can be filled with the knowledge of God. Moving forward in the next 50 years requires us moving from being, and I don't mean to offend you, please do not be offended, because I speak of myself. We have to move from being casual charismatics to being missionary disciples. And that takes a commitment to move into the deep. You know, and I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying we got very comfortable over the years. And it's very rewarding to sit together, to pray together, to hear God's word, to be edified, to be renewed, to be formed by God. But that's not where God wants it to end. He wants us to go out to that world that's a desert, that world that's harsh, that world that's indifferent, that world that continues to abort babies. He wants us to go out to the broken, and He wants us to bring His love. I told you about Sandy I met on the airplane yesterday, right? You know, it's not me to do this street evangelism stuff. You know, it shakes me up, you know. I don't know what to do. But the Holy Spirit knows what to do. What we need to do is be open to love what's in front of us, to be sensitive of who and what God brings into our circumstance, and be ready and willing to say yes to the Lord. Michelle Moran had this prophetic word at Circus Maximus on June 2nd. "The Lord will remind us that the water is flowing, that the water is flowing from His side." You know, the cross of the renewal, right? The water came out of the side of Jesus. The artwork shows the Holy Spirit coming out of the side of Jesus. The water is flowing from His side, from the very essence of Jesus, the Christ. The water is flowing. That is, it is flowing from His temple. That it is bringing a refreshment. It is bringing a renewal. That the water is gathering momentum. The water's coming. The tsunami's coming. It's gathering momentum. It's coming out of the heart of Jesus. It wants to bring refreshment. It wants to renew us. It wants to restore us. It wants to envelop the church. It wants to envelop the world. And she goes on to say, it's gathering momentum. It is the water of life for the world. It is the water that brings refreshment to those who are thirsty. The Lord says, "Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Do you thirst for me? because my world is dry, my world is a desert, but my water is flowing. My water of life is flowing upon you, upon your church, and out to the world. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know about you. I still got something left in me. I'm 63, but I still got something left in me. I want to go the extra yard, you know? I have two laps around the block. I'm dead. But I want to, whatever it is I got, I want to give it. I don't know what that is. Do you? Say amen.
Amen.
Whatever you got, you know, when people jog, I drive and watch them, you know, but whatever you got, whatever's left, God ain't done with us. You know, He ain't done with us. These young folks need to hear our stories. They need to be witnesses of what God had done in our time, because God is going to do greater things in their time. And we're going to be astounded at what God does. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Father says during the Saturday vigil, which I wasn't there, a moment in time, he said, Catholic Charismatic Renewal, you are the current of graces in which multiple expressions have been born, inspired by the Spirit with various charisms and all in service of the church. This current of grace is for all the church, not just for some. Share with all in the church baptism in the Holy Spirit. There it is. We got our marching orders. You know, we are a current of grace. That's what we are. That's how you define this thing that's happened to us. And if we are a current of grace, and I like to say a torrent of grace, you know, don't step in that water. You're going to get swept away, man. You know, it's a torrent of grace of what God has done in us. For the church, sharing with all the church baptism in the Spirit. What is baptism in the Spirit again? That is that life-changing experience of the love of the Father poured out in one's heart by the Holy Spirit, received through a surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. So when somebody says to you, what is this baptism in the Spirit? And you can start to say, well, it's the fifth week, and, you know, if you do the fourth things, you know, we get confused. It's this simple. The charisms will follow this. The outbreak of the gifts of the Spirit will follow this. This is the essential foundation. What is baptism in the Spirit? And this was defined by the Doctrine Commission by ECRIS. It is that life-transforming experience of the love of God the Father poured into one's heart by the Holy Spirit, received through a surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is who we are, and that is what we are called to do. And He has equipped us to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. In a few minutes, or a little bit, we are going to be celebrating Mass with Bishop Sherman and Father Tim. And I would pray that as we consume the body and blood of Christ today, that we ask the Lord to consume us. Consume us, Lord. You know, Jesus was chosen. He was blessed by the Father. He was broken on the cross, and He was given for the world. And today when we receive Eucharist, the bishop is going to take the host. He's going to choose the host, right? He's going to bless the host. He's going to break it, and He's going to give it to us. You know, when you talk about the actual presence of God, you know, this is the actual movement of the Spirit into common bread and common wine, that it could become for us the divine life and blood of Jesus Christ. And not only that, He's asked us, He said, don't you know, if you in the intimacy, right, you learned that you're my beloved, that I chose you, you're chosen. You know, I blessed you, I poured out my Spirit on you, and many of you are broken. For all reasons we're broken. For the diseases that have come against us, for the decisions that we made that weren't good ones, for the lack of love that we weren't shown in our life that we needed so desperately. We're broken. But you are chosen, you are blessed, you are broken. Why? So that you can be given for the life of the world. Just like Jesus. I mean, He wants us to look just like him. It has nothing to do with a beard. He wants us to look just like him. You know, sister, when she came up last night, oh my goodness. You know, and she was in the background. I told her, I said, I just kept scanning the audience and getting stuck at the face. She was just filled with radiant joy. And she came up to talk about the love of God. You know, how beautiful it was. And that's what we're called to be. We're called to be the Christ for the world. We're called to be the arms and the legs of Jesus. We're called to be sent by the Father to a dying world. And in this workshop this afternoon, you're going to be equipped to go do that. You know, the different workshops will help us get ready and trained to do that, to go out and bring the good news of Jesus Christ as Lord to the world. And then we can be the current of grace to all that we encounter. This afternoon, after Mass, after lunch, you're going to have to put up with me one more time. So I'll be counting how many people are still here. And I want to talk about future focus. But for now, I don't know what else we have on the schedule. But let us prepare ourselves for the Eucharist, for the Mass, and welcome Bishop Sherman and Father Tim. Amen?
Amen.